You're listening to the Judicial Watch Weekly Update with Tom Fitton.
Hey everyone, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton here with our weekly update on social media. Thank you as always for joining us. It's been a great week, a great day for the rule of law and for life. I'll talk about the decision by the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade, plus another major decision expanding the protections provided to you, to your citizens, under the Second Amendment. Plus, the Obama IRS scandal is back. I've got some details there that you're going to want to listen to. First up is, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Supreme Court of the United States has ended the national nightmare thrust upon us by the Roe decision of the Supreme Court in the early 70s. The decision is no more. It has been overturned. Roe and its progeny, Casey, as it's been called. So there, the court has found that the Constitution doesn't provide you a right to procure an abortion. And now what that means is that the states and potentially the federal government can now move, and some already have, states have moved to protect unborn human beings. The states can start to protect the lives of unborn human beings, which is what they did before Roe came in and ordered a pro-abortion regime here in the United States. And thank God that President Trump was able to appoint these justices. And the decision, depending on how you read it, essentially was five Supreme Court justices voted to overturn Roe versus Wade completely. Justice Roberts, or Chief Justice Roberts, was out there. It's not clear what his decision would have meant, whether it was a technical overturning of Roe or not, but that doesn't matter. The fact is, Roe is no more. I was up at the Supreme Court earlier today with my colleagues. We were taking some pictures, getting a feel for the scene. A lot of pro-abortionists were out there protesting. And the wonderful thing is, they're now at the wrong place. The threats, the intimidation, the lies targeted at the Supreme Court didn't work. And now the debate will go to where it's supposed to go in our constitutional republic, to the states and Congress where appropriate, as to figuring out how to protect the public interest in the right to life of unborn human beings. Now, the left thinks that public interest is zero, zilch. And of course, many Americans disagree with that. So the question is, do you want to protect the lives of all unborn human beings, the lives of most unborn human beings, the lives of some unborn human beings, or the lives of no unborn human beings? Now, we know where the Biden administration stands on that and the radical leftists. But now virtually every politician in the land will have to answer that question. And you, dear citizen, will have to answer that question for yourself, because you will have a chance to influence this debate. Now, as I said, some states are already moved to undo Roe and protect lives. And what a great day this is for the American people. And I think this should be a holiday in the future where we celebrate the end of this terrible stain on America, which was abortion on demand throughout the entire 9 months of pregnancy. Now, many states will continue to allow their citizens to kill their unborn offspring and others who come into that state. So, you know, this debate is not over, but now we can at least begin to defend the right to life to millions. And, you know, when I was a little kid, I came down here with my parents. My first visits to Washington, D.C. were for pro-life marches here in town. And I tell you, my wife and I were crying this morning of tears of joy that these unborn human beings finally will be protected under law. Millions potentially will be saved because of the end of this Roe regime. And think of all those pro-life activists over the last 50 years who have fought to preserve and protect unborn life, to help pregnant mothers who are desperate straits and help them choose life. Now those opportunities will abound in miraculous ways. And I have to hand it to Justice Alito, who with Justice, and let's name the heroes of the day, Justice Alito, Justice Thomas, Justice Gorsuch, Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Barrett. They stood fast in the face of, as I say, these threats and overturned Roe versus Wade. Now, the leaked opinion, the draft opinion is largely here. It's been expanded. You can see, I think this is a I think it's a 213-page opinion when you count. You have the draft, you have the majority opinion. You've got two concurrences, if I recall, from Justice Thomas and Justice Roberts, or maybe three with Justice Kavanaugh. And then, of course, the unhinged pro-abortion opinion by the justices appointed by Clinton and Obama, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. But the fact is, Roe is over. And let me just read a key portion of, I'm going to read our statement because, you know, I could be all over the place. I'm excited and happy, but let's focus on what needs to be done and let's place all of this into context. This is a day to celebrate life. Five Supreme Court justices today stood strong in the support of the Constitution by overturning Roe. Now states can again extend the protection of law to the precious lives of unborn human beings. Americans will mourn, and I know I do, the tens of millions of human beings, over 60 million, lost to abortion on demand under the Roe regime. But Americans will soon rejoice, and I know I will, for the millions who will live thanks to Roe being thrown into the dustbin of history. Justice Alito's opinion is one for the ages and simply holds it is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. And the opinion concludes that procuring an abortion is not a fundamental constitutional right because such a right has no basis in the Constitution's text or in our nation's history. The decision affirmed Roe was egregiously wrong and was an abusive exercise of raw judicial power. In many ways, this decision today, overturning Roe, is an anti-judicial corruption decision. It has fixed a judicial abuse. So as you see, today's decision begins to undo Roe's damage to the nation. You know, simply put, abortion ends a human life, and it's incompatible with a civil or moral society. The lives of unborn human beings must be protected in every state. States should immediately act to protect the lives of unborn human beings, and Congress should also move to protect unborn lives at the federal level. For example, Congress should move to stop, as we've exposed, in the least, federal funding for the trafficking of fetal organs harvested from human beings killed by abortion. This heroic decision, by the way, comes down shortly after Justice Kavanaugh was almost assassinated as a foreseeable result of this president's and his leftist allies' despicable intimidation campaign against the Supreme Court to protect the abortion-on-demand regime. That criminal leak, the illegal protests, the threats, they didn't work, though. Justices Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett held firm for the rule of law, and they'll go down in history for their bravery. Americans can expect an escalation, though, of the terror campaign by pro-abortionists against the justices, pro-life centers that help pregnant mothers, and Catholic and other Christian churches that support the right to life. You know, rather than allowing illegal protests at the homes of Supreme Court justices and paying little attention to the terror campaign to date, the Biden Justice Department must act to address this crisis now and protect lives and property. And state and local law enforcement should also focus on the escalating threats to pregnancy centers, pro-life advocates, and churches. Now, Judicial Watch is we're pro-life in our attitude. We've done some excellent work in the pro-life area, exposing information about RU486 that the Clinton administration was trying to hide related to its safety and other issues with it. We have exposed the horrors of fetal organ trafficking paid for with your tax dollars. We've exposed the attacks on the First Amendment rights of pro-life protesters. So Judicial Watch, as you may know, filed an amicus brief, a friend of court brief with the court. And, you know, they agreed with one of our key points is that the Supreme Court under Roe did not have the authority to overturn the abortion laws of the various states. And I encourage you, as a citizen, to read this opinion. I want you to go through and read it. It's brilliant by Justice Alito. And when you see the egregious corruption in the Roe court, you'll see what I mean when I say this is an anti-corruption decision. It restores the rule of law. It protects the Constitution. And so now we have opportunities, as I said, to protect the right to life. Judicial Watch, of course, will continue to use the tools available to us under the law to expose the pro-abortion horrors that we've seen, for instance, in organ trafficking, and seek ways to better defend and expand the right to life of all human beings. And let me just say this about Judicial Watch's role in this case. I would submit to you that we have this decision in large measure thanks to Judicial Watch. Let me explain. Judicial Watch began the most important independent investigation by a non-governmental organization in American history. It was the investigation of Benghazi. Long story short, that investigation led to Judicial Watch uncovering Hillary Clinton's secret emails. And Hillary Clinton's obstruction and corruption and criminality related to those emails all came to a head during the presidential campaign. We didn't plan it that way. We didn't know what was going on with Clinton's emails until they finally admitted they had all these emails they hadn't searched. And as a result of those disclosures in those emails and the evident corruption of Hillary Clinton's involvement in that email cover-up, the destruction of evidence, the lies, all of that, the consequence of that was that she didn't win the presidency. Because if she had run the presidency, you would never have had a majority of Supreme Court justices to overturn Roe. So that's, I don't want to overstate it, but the fact is that these corruption investigations by Judicial Watch have consequences beyond just the immediate information and the education that results from the American people hearing about it. There's accountability in a rough justice sort of way, because sometimes voters say, I don't like what Judicial Watch found about this politician, and I'm going to vote one way versus the other. That's the reality of it. Now, we don't do it to make sure you vote one way versus the other. We just put it out there. And people draw their own conclusions. And they drew their own conclusions about Hillary Clinton. She wasn't president. President Trump was elected, and he appointed Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Comey Barrett, and they provided the key votes to overturn Roe versus Wade. So millions of lives are now going to be saved as a result of the president's choices, President Trump's choices, that he was able to make in large measure because of the consequences of the corruption investigation and Hillary Clinton's and our uncovering of Hillary Clinton's emails. There you have it. So that's one of the secret histories that the media probably won't get into, or frankly, many other people won't get into, because they don't understand that this is a long ball game, folks. And I know it's frustrating not to get certain people prosecuted or pursued adequately. And I agree with you 100% on that. And of course, President Trump himself was terribly abused. No other president has been abused like President Trump. And if I could talk to him directly about this, I would tell him, I know you've been through terrible abuse, and you still are being abused. But let me suggest that the lives of the unborn babies that will be saved as a result of your decision making and your commitment to life, I hope is a significant solace to you. Because there are millions of lives that will be born because of President Trump and those who've helped him, Vice President Pence, the senators who placed these justices on the court, Senator McConnell, I haven't been a fan of him recently, but the fact is he got these justices on the court. He had these Republicans standing firm to get these justices on the court. And of course, you know, we were out there pushing to get these justices on the court because Judicial Watch believes that the only justices who should be on the court are those who are committed to upholding the Constitution as it's supposed to be upheld by judges, and not, we don't need judges who are going to legislate from the bench on behalf of liberal activist positions. So I celebrate life today. You should celebrate life this week and today as well. The left, unfortunately, as I said, is going to probably get some get violent here. So we'll have to suffer through that, and hopefully law enforcement will take appropriate action. I don't trust this Biden administration to do much. But this is a great day for America, and I encourage you to get even more active on this issue because, as I said, lives are at stake. So quickly, the other big decision that came down this week is, this is one thing I don't like about our Supreme Court processes, and it kind of shows you the distortions that have resulted from judicial supremacy. Every June, we await anxiously these Supreme Court decisions to tell us as a government and as a country what we're allowed to do. That's not the way the Constitution was supposed to work. I mean, in the case of this Dobbs decision, they kind of said the court wasn't supposed to get into this abortion case, get into this abortion controversy the way they did. So that was a fix. And so, you know, we shouldn't have to rely, you know, the courts shouldn't be in a position, or there shouldn't be an expectation that the courts do this type of abuse. And there's got to be more pushback on it. In the case of Roe, we had to wait 50 years almost for Roe to be overturned. No, 50 years, almost literally 50 years. When was Roe? 72 or 73? And 60 million babies, unborn human beings, have been killed under the Roe regime. You know, that's just intolerable. And similarly, you know, we've got these Second Amendment rights that have been under attack for, you know, over 100 years in the case of New York, and which allows me to segue to a major decision by the Supreme Court. Justice Thomas, in an opinion, again, that is well worth reading here. It's New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, Superintendent of New York State Police. And essentially, the court said, no more is this Second Amendment a second-class right. It is a first-class right and needs to be treated with respect. And in New York, they had a rule over 100 years old that you basically had to go and beg for the police for the right to bear an arm. Doesn't matter if you were an upstanding citizen. You didn't have that inherent right. You'd even have a process in which you could get that right and that ability, as I believe the Second Amendment allows. And so the Supreme Court of the United States, in a 6-3 decision, so you had all the Republican appointees against the three leftist appointees, voted to uphold let's put it this way. The court voted to expand Second Amendment protections and explain to the states that you have this federal right and they can't infringe upon it without proper reasoning and going through the right processes. This is the final statement by Justice Thomas. I encourage you to read this decision because, like in the Roe decision, it exposes a lot of the lies that you've been hearing from the media that's been echoing the left's anti-gun agenda and alternative history. If you want to know about the right to carry and the understanding of the Second Amendment and all sorts of other things related to that, I encourage you to read this decision because it's extremely educational, and we'll make it available on our website. The constitutional right to bear arms in public for self-defense is not a second-class right, subject to an entirely different body of rules than the other Bill of Rights guarantees. We know of no other constitutional right that an individual may exercise only after demonstrating to government officials some special need. That is not how the First Amendment works when it comes to an unpopular speech or the free exercise of religion. It's not how the Sixth Amendment works when it comes to a defendant's right to confront the witnesses against him. And it is not how the Second Amendment works when it comes to public carry for self-defense. New York's proper cause requirement, meaning you have to show proper cause to get the right to defend yourself outside your home, violates the 14th Amendment in that it prevents law-abiding citizens with ordinary self-defense needs from exercising their right to keep and bear arms. We therefore reverse the judgment of the Court of Appeals and remand the case for further opinions consistent with this opinion. Well, you know, the good news is for gun rights is that there are only like five or six states that essentially prohibit you from bearing arms outside the home. And as, I mean, I think as Justice Thomas highlights, I mean, it's absurd to say that the whole second, you know, if you can't, you've got this right to keep and bear arms. You just can't say that second part means nothing. It obviously doesn't mean, as he highlights, bearing an arm from your kitchen table to your bedroom. It means walking around with a gun. Now, does it mean that that right is unlimited? It means, it doesn't necessarily mean you have a right to a concealed weapon, although I think arguably you do. But the point is, you have a right to bear an arm. And that's what the left hates. They, first of all, they don't believe you have an individual right to keep and bear arms. And according to this dissent, you have three justices on the court that would allow the Second Amendment to be eviscerated. And I encourage you to read not only Justice Thomas's decision, but the concurring opinions, especially Justice Alito, who takes on the leftist dissent, really politicization of this judicial decision. You know, he writes, and this is something that is worth repeating, and talking about New York, no one apparently knows how many of the 400 million privately held guns are in the hands of criminals, but there can be little doubt that many muggers and rapists are armed and are undeterred by the Sullivan Law, which is the law that restricts gun rights in New York. Each year, the New York City Police Department confiscates thousands of guns, and it is fair to assume that the number of guns seized is a fraction of the total number of held unlawfully. The police can't disarm every person who acquires a gun for use of criminal activity, nor can they provide bodyguard protection for the state's nearly 20 million residents, or the 8.8 million people living in New York City. Some must traverse dark and dangerous streets in order to reach their homes after work or other evening activities. Some are members of groups whose members feel especially vulnerable, and some of these people reasonably believe that unless they can brandish or if necessary, use a handgun in the case of attack, they may be murdered, raped, or suffered other serious injury. And as I noted online, I issued a tweet, have you seen this terrible story? And the stories about how the police in that Texas school shooting were just sitting outside the room, refusing to do anything to move in to stop that mass shooter. And what the left wants to do is they want to turn every citizen into the equivalent of those teachers who had zero ability to defend themselves and the little ones around them, because they were unarmed and it would be impossible to be armed in the face of that evil shooter. The Second Amendment protects your right to defend yourself, which is a God-given right. And as this court highlights, it's as important as any other right. And indeed, Justice Alito notes, when you start messing with the Second Amendment, you're messing with the 14th Amendment that provides protection of the laws to all citizens. So I can see why the left really hates Justice Thomas, because he's so smart, so honest, and so meticulous, which is why they're trying to destroy him and why we must be careful about protecting the Supreme Court's rightful role in our constitutional system. Because if we don't have a judicial system that is able to operate independently in deciding rule of law questions, then all of us could eventually lose our rights in our republic. Well, as you know, at least until the Biden administration, and I still think the Obama corruption issues are bigger than we face with Biden. Biden probably has more personal corruption issues than Obama did. But in terms of policy and government abuse of power, I think Obama still has Biden beat. And specifically, I'm highlighting the Obama IRS scandal, which was the precursor in many ways to the attacks on Trump and the spying and the smearing of Trump and the illicit targeting of him. What happened with the Obama IRS scandal was they used Obama and his colleagues in Congress, pressured the IRS, after this Citizens United decision that expanded the ability of citizens to participate in elections. They used the IRS to suppress those citizens that wanted to participate in elections, namely the Tea Party movement, which was the most significant civil society movement in modern American history in terms of activating citizens to seek policies in accordance with limited government. And this Tea Party movement, after the 2010 debacle for Democrats in the House, were seen as a dire threat to President Obama's reelection campaign. So what happened was they needed to suppress the Tea Party movement. And what did they do? They used the IRS to do it. And Judicial Watch has done more than anyone to uncover the key details of this egregious abuse of power by Barack Obama. And one of the key officials involved in that abuse was Lois Lerner, who was the head of the subsection of the IRS agency responsible for handling the IRS applications of political-oriented groups, or frankly just charitable groups, who wanted to be involved in public policy issues. And what they were doing was they were slow-walking and stonewalling these groups' application requests, even though they technically, in many cases, didn't have to apply to the IRS. Because they were good American citizens and conservatives in the small c sense of the word, they thought they should file the application process. The left doesn't bother with that because they didn't need to. And in punishment for being good citizens, they just denied and stalled their request for to begin these Tea Party movement groups. And as a result, the Tea Party movement was viciously suppressed and disappeared in the 2012 elections. And as I said, that's how you steal an election in plain sight, by suppressing your political opposition. So that was a practice run, wasn't it, for the targeting of Trump? They used the IRS, and as we've exposed, they used other agencies, which I'll discuss later. So what's now, it's now back in the news because, again, of Judicial Watch and others who've been suing and had successfully sued the IRS over this abuse. And a federal court just ordered the release of the testimony from that litigation of former Obama-era IRS officials Lois Lerner and Holly Paz. Holly Paz was Lois Lerner's deputy. And of course, you know, as I said, they targeted these groups. They were responsible. Now, the ruling comes in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Ohio, Western Division, so an Ohio court. And it was a lawsuit called NorCal Tea Party Patriots et al. Versus the Internal Revenue Service. And Lerner and Paz's depositions in that case were sealed by the judge in April of 2017 after their lawyers claimed the two officials were receiving threats. The court finally ordered the unsealing of the depositions 4 years after the plaintiffs requested the depositions be unsealed, and only after the plaintiffs filed a writ of mandamus to force action in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. So this is what happened. And now, of course, just to be clear, also Judicial Watch filed an amicus brief in that case to get these documents out because we had a great interest in figuring out what went on here because we said that the release of the deposition transcripts may shed light on government misconduct, to say the least, on the grounds that shielding internal government deliberations in this context does not serve the public's interest in honest, effective government. And so there's this strong presumption in favor of openness as to court records, and the burden of overcoming the presumption is borne by the party that seeks to seal them. The burden is a heavy one. Only the most compelling reasons can justify non-disclosure of judicial records. And of course, there's great public interest in the litigation subject matter. And so that significant interest means you really got to work hard to overcome this presumption of openness. So it took 4 years and a writ of mandamus brief. So in other words, the court would never have acted unless we went, in this case, the plaintiffs went to the court's bosses in the Sixth Circuit, say, you got to force a decision here. I mean, it's one thing to say no, it's one thing, it's another, quite another, to not make a decision for years. So now it's 2022, And later, I think in the summer, it's going to be released, these deposition transcripts. We're going to get more information about the Obama IRS scandal that really, as I said, was the precursor for the abuse of power that we saw under Obama against Trump, and that continues in many ways to this day today. Lois Lerner's IRS was abused by Obama and his congressional allies to suppress the Tea Party movement and other opponents in the run-up to his re-election. That is how one steals an election in plain sight. The Obama IRS scandal was a run-through for the abuse of Trump in 2016 and beyond by Obama agencies and appointees. And hopefully these depositions of Obama's IRS officials will further help Americans understand the continued clear and present danger of the IRS and the politicians that misuse the IRS to our civil liberties. Now, what I also want to go over with you relatively briefly is what Judicial Watch was able to uncover. Because I think this IRS scandal was so important, and there's never been really good accountability there. Jeff Sessions, despite highlighting the corruption of the IRS, he was Trump's first attorney general, his Justice Department refused to do anything, didn't want to do any prosecutions. I mean, that was one of the major signals in the first year of the Trump administration that the Justice Department was going to be AWOL on these significant public corruption cases. The refusal to prosecute Lerner or anyone else for this radical abuse of power targeting innocent American citizens for political purposes under the power of the IRS. Unbelievable. This is what Judicial Watch was able to disclose that even Congress couldn't get access to. In September of 2014, one of our FOIA lawsuits, I think we had 9 or so FOIA lawsuits, forced the release of documents detailing that the IRS sought and maintained, obtained and maintained the names of donors to Tea Party and other conservative groups. You know, they were lying and they said, oh, no, we're not looking at that. They were looking at the donors. IRS officials acknowledged in these documents that the information wasn't needed. And the documents also show that the donor names were being used for, quote, a secret research project. In April 2015, we found documents that included an email from Lerner asking that a program be set up to put together some training points to help IRS staffers understand the potential pitfalls of revealing too much information to Congress. So they needed a cover-up operation. The documents also contain a Lerner email from 2013. Remember, we didn't find out about Obama's abuse of the IRS until after he won. There was a Treasury Inspector General report. It's called the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, TIGDA. They finally issued a report after the election that the IRS was using political factors to target the Tea Party and other conservative groups. The documents, as I said, also contain a Lerner email from 2013 in which she says she is, quote, willing to take the blame on some aspects of the scandal. She also indicates that she understands why the IRS criteria leading to the targeting of the Tea Party and other opponents might raise questions. So they all knew immediately they were caught. And then we kind of really broke it wide open because it turned out it wasn't just the IRS. The Obama administration was trying to use this activity, First Amendment protected activity. They were thinking of ways to target and jail those engaged in it. So their thinking was, they're signing these forms, these C4 forms. So there's a group, the IRS allows organizations to run their operations under Section 501c3, which is a kind of a charity. Judicial Watch is an educational foundation, so we're a C3 organization. And groups that are, quote, social welfare groups that can do a lot more politics than Judicial Watch would be able to do as a C3 are called C4s. So the DOJ was thinking of ways to use people's signatures on those C4 groups and saying, oh, well, you're not doing what you promised. These standard applications you're signing, so we're going to go after you for operating the C4 groups in a way that we don't like. Completely outrageous, and even Lerner knew it. So we exposed how the FBI and DOJ had taken IRS files to investigate potentially thousands of groups. In July 2015, Judicial Watch revealed the IRS scandal included the Justice Department under Obama and the FBI as well. According to documents obtained by Judicial Watch, under court order, in an October 2010 meeting, Lerner, Justice Department officials, and the FBI planned for the possible criminal prosecution of targeted nonprofit organizations for alleged illegal political activity. It doesn't talk about Banana Republic stuff. As part of the effort, the Obama IRS gave the FBI 21 computer disks containing 1.25 million pages of confidential IRS returns from 113,000 nonprofit 501c4 social welfare organizations as part of that prosecution scheme. According to a letter from then House Oversight Committee Chairman Daryl Issa to then IRS Commissioner John Koskinen, the revelation likely means the IRS, including possibly Lois Lerner, violated federal tax law by transmitting this information to the Justice Department. Now, once we caught them, the IRS returned the material, admitting they didn't have the right to keep it. And we caught them red-handed, and no one did anything about it. We exposed it, but this criminality, Sessions Justice Department ignored, and obviously the left didn't care about. We confirmed that the IRS was using donor lists to these groups to target donors for audits. And then we found in 2016, during the next presidential campaign, that the IRS knew they were improperly targeting these organizations 2 years before we found out about it. And they withheld that information from Congress. The IRS used names like Tea Party or Patriots, and they selected cases simply because the applications had those names in the title. According to what Lerner admitted. That was wrong, that was absolutely incorrect, insensitive, and inappropriate. It's also illegal. It was also a bipartisan scandal because Judicial Watch then found that the Sheldon Whitehouse and John McCain, Sheldon Whitehouse is a left-wing Democrat, John McCain was the Republican senator from Arizona at the time, his staff director and chief counsel, on a key committee, urged top IRS officials, including Lois Lerner, to audit so many of these groups that it became financially ruinous. So they wanted to shut them down. Outrageously, Kerner was appointed by the President Trump as special counsel. We found out about this after the fact. Nothing ever was done with Kerner. You know, because they told us, McCain didn't want any of this. He was just there for the rot. You know, he signed this letter. He didn't know. No. The note showed they were in on it, too. And then they were telling C4 groups, we'll let you get your application approved as long as you don't do any politics we don't like. Outrageous abuse of power. So forgive me for going through this, quote, old news, but it's probably new news to you because the legacy media, the left Democrats that are involved in these crimes, and then the Republicans who don't want to do anything about it, they prefer you not know anything about this. But I'm glad the court ordered the release of these deposition transcripts. Hopefully we can highlight how this was the beginning of, and they had a test run, of targeting their political opposition to help sway an election improperly. And then in 2016, they tried it again with Trump. And it wasn't successful through the abuse of power through the FBI and Justice Department. So just remember, the Obama IRS scandal is also a Justice Department scandal and an FBI scandal. And all of that has come out thanks to Judicial Watch. So as you can see, we're doing a lot for the rule of law and the Constitution, to put it mildly. I encourage you to support our work with donations. I encourage you to share our work and our material that we've uncovered with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and other people that will let you send them stuff. So I encourage you to kind of share the wealth to save the Republic. So with that, I'll see you here next time on the Judicial Watch Weekly Update. God bless America.
Thanks for listening to the Judicial Watch Weekly Update with Tom Fitton. For more information, visit www.judicialwatch.org, because no one is above the law.